This morning, if you have your Bible, would you join me in the book of Psalms? The book of Psalms. On the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down scripture references, any notes we may have on the screen. I hope you'll take them with you. I hope it gets in your heart. But I know we can. I don't even remember everything I say. And I know I get more out of anyone just because of the time involved, I guess, in preparation. But I certainly trust that you get something, I believe you do, out of God's Word as well. And again, on the back, just any references. I thank God for those who serve as greeters in every area, bulletins, back in the sound, and with the children, and just every area. Ministry can't happen without your service, and it is appreciated. Thank God for you. You're laying up treasure in heaven. And thank God for sowing good seeds and investment. Just a moment, we'll make our, well, in fact, we don't go ahead and do that. Psalms 107, I'll let you get your spot there. The book of Psalms, the 107th Psalm. We read a few verses in that Psalm here, Lord willing, in just a moment. And we'll make our confession together. The words are on the screen. If you need those, I'll just invite you to follow along. I believe you mean it. And it's a blessing for me to hear. And I'm thankful that that's in your heart. So would you join me as we make our confession together this morning? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before I read this verse, I just wanted to share a testimony real quick. Someone came up to me after the service last Sunday and said that the Sunday before last, so two Sundays ago, I shared a message on God's faithfulness. Your faithfulness gives me hope. And I remember if you were here, we showed a little 6-minute video of a lady named Rebecca. And, you know, she lives in another nation. It was International Day of Prayer for a persecuted church, and how she was, her village and home was attacked and burned. Her husband and son were killed. And when she went back to just the charred remains of her home, she found a Bible that was given to them on their, her and her husband, on their wedding day. And it was charred a little bit in Genesis and Revelation, but she was able to save it. They read from it every day together as they were married. But she said it confirmed to her God's faithfulness. And someone who shared a testimony with me was saying of how, you know, we can get busy, and it's not that we don't believe God's word, but it can be neglected. And they told me that since that video, they had made up their mind. They've been in the Word every day. So I said, well, thank God for that. And thank God for his Word. The Bible says this in the first verse of Psalms 107. Psalms 107, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And that's just basically the title of the message today. I tried to shorten it a little bit. I just said, thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his goodness. The Lord is good. It's his nature. It's who he is. It's not just that he does good things. He does good things because he is good. He's a good God. God is good in his holiness and sinlessness and purity. God is good in his faithfulness. This verse says, God is good in his mercy. His mercy endures forever. That word is also translated steadfast love. God is good in his steadfast love. And it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The main reason, as a foundation, really the only reason we need to give thanks to God is that he's good. He's good. So that's reason enough, but that's not all he does or all he is, thankfully, but he is good. So we give God thanks. Thank God for his goodness. Verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The word redeem has the idea of like paying a ransom. You know, someone's been kidnapped and a ransom is demanded. And so there is a ransom that was paid. It also has the idea of being rescued, like rescued and freed. Thank God he came to rescue us through his son to free us from sin and death. Jesus satisfied the sentence for breaking God's law. He satisfied divine justice when Jesus took our sins upon himself at the cross. He suffered and died to pay for our sins. He came back to life the third day in victory, and he reigns on high now. And he saves anyone and everyone who will simply believe the testimony of God in his word and receive Jesus as Lord in their hearts. He did the hard work. And when we believe with our heart, then he saves us and we are redeemed. Thank God, I'm redeemed this morning. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank God for his goodness. Would you say that with me? Thank God for his goodness. If you drop down to verse 8, same Psalms 107, verse 8. This psalm is written, there basically were songs, and this verse is kind of like almost like a little chorus that's repeated several times throughout the song. And verse 8, it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies the longing. He fills the hungry. I want a greater hunger for God. I want a greater desire for God, for his presence, for his will, for his word. And Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So we can hunger for the right one and the right things, just like we could hunger for some of the wrong things with that nature and tendency of sin. In verse 19, he says this, talks about those who cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. Thank God. He sent his word and healed them. The word of God has healing virtues and delivered them from their destructions. Again, verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Amen. Thank God for his goodness. Sometimes it's a sacrifice, but he's worthy. And we give him praise and give him thanks. This morning, I'd like to just share three blessings that when we truly thank God, they invite these blessings. I'm not saying there's only three, certainly, but these are three that I would just want to share with us this morning. And if you turn back to the 100th Psalm, if you're in 107, if you turn back to Psalms 100, thanking God invites his, and I'll read just the last two verses of Psalms 100. Psalms 100 and verse 4. The Bible says this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. The Bible, Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. God is a king. You know, there's a proper protocol to go into the presence of a king. And when we, that's why it's so important. Thanking God and praising God are the proper protocol to enter and invite the presence of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And this is what I've found is when the king shows up, I mean, when his presence is really manifest among us, everything else seems less significant. So every problem I'm facing, every trial, every enemy, every spirit, every distraction, every sickness, everything fades in significance when we come into the presence of the one who is almighty. And giving him thanks ushers us into his presence according to the word here. So the first blessing that I believe thanking God invites is it invites God's presence. Thanking God invites his presence into our lives. Being thankful, that verse also said, verse 4 says, be thankful and bless his name. when we're thankful to God, it not only blesses Him, it draws us closer to Him. Brothers and sisters, we need the presence of God. We need the presence of God. We don't need more religion necessarily, and all, but we need the presence of God. The Bible says, if you want to just write this down, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. That's Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So we need His presence, and thanking God leads us into His presence. That's why that last verse, verse 5, says this, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. His truth is His word. Thank God for the truth of His word that lights our way so that we know how we can be in the presence of God and we can experience His presence. The Bible teaches that God is everywhere, present. It's called omnipresence. And even though that's certainly true, the Bible makes a distinction between what is God's omnipresence, where He's everywhere, and God's manifest presence, where you know you're in the presence of God. And you sense His presence, and God does something in His presence that draws us to Him for His own purpose and His glory. It's just like Isaiah. He was a prophet, but when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His presence filled that temple, he realized his own sinfulness. So yes, the presence of God's holiness can show us where our need is and show us maybe attitude or some kind of sin that we might not even be aware of. But the same presence of God that reveals sin is the same presence of God that applies the blood of Jesus and cleanses sin. And after the Lord cleansed Isaiah, the Lord said, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? He said, here am I, send me. But it was birthed out of being in the presence of the Lord. So thank God for His blessings, and thanking God invites His presence. Let me ask you to turn to the New Testament book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'll just tell you, let me tell you what they are real quick, okay? And I will finish up. But thanking God invites His presence, peace, and protection. His presence, peace, and protection. Philippians chapter 4, we see these two verses related to the peace of the Lord. Because the Lord is, He's never anxious, He's never fearful, He's never worried, and His presence can calm us. These all go together. So, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, verses 6 and 7, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, would you say everything? Yeah. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's the expression of our faith and the exercise of our faith, because we're coming to the Lord with something that's potentially making us anxious. We're coming to the Lord with our requests, and thank God, He says, let your requests be made known to God. But if we will bring our requests with thanksgiving, He says in verse 7, and the peace of God, the very peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. See, if everything is going my way and it looks like all my prayers are answered, everything's fine, I can understand that peace. But when it seems like I'm hurting, I'm troubled, I don't know what's going on, why it's happening, and I can still come to the Lord with my request, and still, just because, if no other reason, God is good and He's with me, I can give Him thanks. And there's something supernatural, again, about expressing our faith through thanksgiving and exercising our faith through thanksgiving with prayer. See, for many years, I prayed, or let me say I worried and called it prayer. But there's something about mixing our prayer with thanksgiving that invites the peace of God to come in and to be a guard over our hearts and over our minds, as this scripture says. So we make our requests with thanksgiving, and the Lord brings His peace. The first time I told Kim when I was studying for the message this week, I looked up every verse in the Bible that mentions thanks, thankful, thanksgiving, and I looked up every reference, I'll say it that way, and I wrote down many of them, and just, I wanted to see, I was curious as to what the first reference was. because sometimes in the Bible, whatever the first mention of something, maybe the first mention of worship or whatever it may be, is almost sets a pattern throughout the rest of Scripture. Some call it the law of first mention. So I wanted to find out, and this is what I found. It's in the book of Leviticus. If you want to just write the reference down, it's Leviticus. Let me give it to you. Chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. And there's a particular, in fact, let me just read a verse here to you in just a moment. Leviticus chapter 7. This is the first time that the Bible mentions Thanksgiving. And there are several offerings in this chapter. There's a grain offering, you know, like the people were supposed to bring the first part of their flour. There's a burnt offering, sin offering, so forth. But this is, there's one particular offering that Thanksgiving is linked to, and here it is. It says, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord if he offers it for a thanksgiving. That's the first time Thanksgiving is found in the Bible, and it's linked to a peace offering. Do you see how that's throughout the Scripture? Peace and Thanksgiving are linked together. And so they come together. So when we give God thanks, we invite his presence. And when his presence is manifest in us, then we invite his peace to guard our hearts and guard our minds. Thank God he made a way for us to experience his peace. I'll take peace over money. We need money, but if I have peace or if I have money, and that's all I have, and I don't have the peace of God, and it keeps me up at night and worries me to the point of affecting my health, I'd rather have peace. The Lord is our source to meet our need. Some of you know I'm not exaggerating. I'll take the peace. That's a priceless treasure to me. God's peace to guard our hearts and troubled minds, especially in these times in which we live. Thank God for his goodness. Would you say that with me? Thank God for his goodness. So when thanking God invites his presence, invites his peace, and then invites his protection. And let me go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, if you're there in Philippians, if you just return back just a few books there. Romans chapter 1. And thank God for physical protection. Thank God for every type of protection, but this specific protection I'm speaking of right here in this scripture is spiritual protection. Spiritual protection from sin. And the text, we'll read just a couple of verses, reveals a fall further and further from the knowledge of God and the salvation of God. So it's a downward fall away from the presence of God, away from the knowledge of God, away from the salvation of God. And here's how it begins. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, speaking about God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's simply saying that creation shows us that there is a creator. And not only does creation, there's something within the human heart that causes us to recognize there's someone, there's something out there. We might not know the details, certainly, but that's why worship is common to humanity throughout history and throughout every culture. It doesn't matter. Go through a history book, thumb through, and just put your finger somewhere on the line. And at that time of human history, they're either worshiping or they did worship something or someone. I'm not saying it was God, but it's in the human nature because we came from God and there's something within us. But if we do not worship the true and living God, then we'll give our worship to something or someone else, and the Bible calls that idolatry. So he says then in verse 21, it says, because although they knew God, notice, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. You see how important that is? That they wouldn't glorify God as God or give him thanks. They weren't thankful to him. And as a result, they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's not just about the intellect. It's about our heart. That's what this scripture is saying here. So there is a protection that comes. Again, thank God for physical protection, but this is speaking of a spiritual protection from sin. Let me read that verse 21 from the New Living Translation. It words it like this, Romans 1:21 says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. So the descent started by not giving God glory as God and not being thankful to him, but it ended in verse 25 where it says they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and they worshiped and served something or someone God created rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. See, thanksgiving, we thank God for his blessings, but we don't just focus on the blessing, we thank the blesser. And we don't just focus as Christians, we're not to just focus on the gift. Thank God for the gifts, but we thank the giver. So he gets our worship. And so again, his presence, his peace, and then his protection. Think about the very first temptation to humanity in Genesis chapter 3, where they're in the Garden of Eden. If we experience the presence of God and the peace of God, it can help us, it can protect us from a temptation. We still will be tempted, but it can help us have victory. And see, what Satan was able to do there in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve everything. They had access to everything, the world, except one tree. But see, Satan deceived them into thinking that God was not good, that God was withholding a blessing from them, that God was withholding, hey, this could be pleasurable for you. He's just jealous. You'll be like, you run the show. You run your own life. And he deceived them into thinking that God was not good, and they ended up sinning. But do you see how important it is? When a temptation comes, God is still good. And if we ever, all throughout the New Testament, here's how God's love is revealed. The cross and Jesus. Always. When it speaks of God's love, it points us to Jesus and the cross. Jesus suffering and dying as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross proves that God is not selfish. He's a good God, and we can thank him just because he's good. And there's something about experiencing his presence and peace that I'm not so hungry and tempted by what is sinful because I've found what I need in the Lord and in his will. That's important because we do need each other. And we do have human and physical and relational needs, but I can submit them to God and have them answered God's way, and I don't have to sin in order to meet a need that ultimately is going to come back to hurt me if we sin. Do you see how there's a protection there? So it's the presence of God, the peace of God, and then the protection of God. There's a man by the, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, his name is Hans, it's S-E-Y-L-E, Hans Seyl. Maybe. He's known as the father of the modern stress studies. Here's what the father of modern stress studies says, all right? Gratitude produces more emotional energy than any other attitude. I'll say that one again. Gratitude produces more emotional energy than any other attitude. Maybe we could say being ungrateful is draining. It drains us every way, doesn't it? I mean, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. And a lot of it just has to come back with where our focus is. That's why it's so important to always, God is good, and that alone is enough reason for me to give him thanks. But when I truly thank God, it invites his presence, it invites his peace, and it invites his protection. I'll give you one last scripture. The Bible says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 30. We put it on the screen if you can just write it down if you want it. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 30 says, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord and likewise at evening. The priest had a responsibility every day. Every morning they had to stand up and thank and praise the Lord. And every evening they had to stand up and thank and praise the Lord. Now, we're in the New Testament. Who are the New Testament priests? Followers of Jesus are New Testament priests today, right? So I want to give you a little challenge. All right? And ask you if you will join me every day this week, online, every morning and every evening, whether you stand or not. You can lay before you get out of bed, it's good. But every day this morning or this week, every morning and every evening, before you close your eyes and sleep, will you pause just for maybe a few seconds even and to thank God for just one specific blessing? I believe there's something that God will do if we're willing to do it. Just give him thanks, just to thank him. Thank him for his God. I don't want to tell you what to thank him for, just like earlier. You know what to thank him for, but if there's anything, you know, you might want to start off tomorrow just say, Lord, thank you, woke me up. Thank you, I got a job to go to. Thank you, I'm off this week, or whatever it may be. And just to take that time to say, and whatever that one thing is, one blessing every morning and every evening, I believe it's going to make a difference in our week. And I'll be, you know, we can even thank God in faith for something. I might not be feeling 100%, but I'm going to say thank you, Lord, for my healing. Because I believe God is a healer, and I believe he's my healer. And so I'm just going to go ahead and thank him, and I want to do my part, but I want to do what I can to line myself up with God's will and receive his healing touch and his power as well. So I want to ask you, will you join me this week? Every morning and evening, Lord, help you to remember and just give God something. Just thank him for something every morning and every evening. And I believe it's going to be a good week together. All right? Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Thank God. For